Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Brian Carlson, Director, Global Product and Solutions Marketing at NXP. He focuses on secure vehicle network processors for automotive gateways and domain controllers. Brian has over 30 years experience driving leading edge computing and communication products with roles in product development, technology marketing, product management, and business development. He also served as vice chairman on the MIPI Alliance board of directors, where he led the mobile charge into adjacent markets, including automotive and IoT. Welcome to the podcast, Brian.
Thank you, Daniel. Happy to be here.
Can you tell us how you first got started in semiconductors and then what brought you to NXP?
Sure. It's a long journey. As you mentioned, I was a designer. I was actually a design engineer and a systems engineer for about 10 years. And I was involved heavily in digital signal processing communications. What brought me into the semiconductor world was marketing, actually. So I transitioned to marketing 20 years ago, and I progressed through the telecom markets with LSI Logic, voice over IP networking types of world, and then transitioned to Texas Instruments with mobile phones and smartphones and that whole revolution that happened there. And I joined NXP in 2016 to join the charge for automotive. And this market is really exploding. And I forgot to mention, I did work at Intel as we brought computing and tablets and that to the market. So what I think my experience in semiconductors is as a designer for a decade, and then over the last 20 years of really seeing how the technology's developed, you know, from telecommunications, wireless, compute, and now automotive, and how all that technology is converging right now into these new automotive architectures and the semiconductors that have to power them.
Yeah, we've been tracking automotive for about 5 years on SemiWiki, and you know, we didn't get a lot of automotive traffic back then, but now it's booming. It's one of the top traffic sources. So we spend a lot of time on automotive, and rightly so. So let's talk about electronic vehicles. What is a traction inverter? What function does that serve in EVs?
Yeah, so you can look at the traction inverter as being really the driver of the electric vehicle. What I mean by that is, you know, when you want to move that electric vehicle, you know, you have the accelerator pedal, you have the brake, you have other systems within the car for autonomous driving, potentially ADAS features, and things like electronic stability control. So all of those have a say in how do I move that car forward, or how do I control the traction of that vehicle? So the inverter, actually the key function is to take that energy that's stored in that large battery. We're talking, you know, kilowatts of tens of kilowatts of power from the battery, converting that from a DC voltage into the AC current that drives these motors. They're AC motors typically, or they could be DC, but typically AC motors. So the inverter converts the battery from DC to the AC of the motor, and the amount of current that's provided, multi-phase AC, to that motor is finally controlled by a processor to be able to provide smooth acceleration, deceleration, and to provide the best driving experience. And where we really focus is the control of that inverter to be able to move that car forward smoothly and with high performance.
Got it. And so I get why traction converters need to be controlled, but specifically, what are you controlling? And if you provide control of a traction inverter, what does that mean for vehicle functionality?
Yeah, so it all comes down at the end of the day is moving that electric motor that rotates, right? And the rotation of that motor is controlled by the AC currents. There's multi-phase, typically today three-phase, and we see going forward multiple phases. So there's currents at three phases of that motor. So that that motor's spinning, right? It's electromagnetic. It has a magnet and we're putting current through it, so it rotates that motor. So what's really important is, how do I control the rotation of that motor? When I want to speed up, I want to accelerate quickly, or do I need to slow down? I control that through providing the AC multi-phase current to that motor. And that's what the inverter does. And the controller controls how that AC current is delivered to the motor that spins the motor. Now, what that does at the end of the day for the driver is that it needs to be responsive. So when I press the accelerator, that car accelerates proportional to, you know, how far I press the pedal, just like you drive the vehicle today in an internal combustion engine. But now we're spinning an electric motor, that determines the speed and the torque of that vehicle. So that's what it's all about, is controlling the responsiveness of the motors. And it goes one step further. You're seeing some of these vehicles go from a single motor to dual motor. Some configurations have three motor for higher performance, and even some are using four electric motors. And when you start to add these motors, you get the ability to control the vehicle much more granular. For example, a four-wheel drive EV can really give a great off-road experience, much like four-wheel today, or better handling and additionally higher performance. So this control of these EVs becomes even more complex and even more important as we start to add more electric motors to the vehicle. And you have to control those all in parallel, and you have to synchronize and determine if one wheel slipping. For example, maybe I reduce the torque on that wheel and compensate for the others, called torque vectoring. So it's really, at the end of the day, it's about controlling those electric motors for the responsiveness, the smoothness, and the best handling that I can get from that vehicle. And that's what's exciting about this, because it opens up a lot of opportunities through software updates and software control of these inverters to make that those electric motors the best that they can be. And they can improve over time.
Right. I get that. So what else is involved in the process of traction inverter control behind just spinning the motor and moving the vehicle?
Yeah, so it's really a complete control loop, and in control, you need feedback. So one of the key features of the inverter control is being able to monitor the position of the motor and the speed of that motor, how it's spinning at every moment in time. And to do that, there's a function called the resolver. Really, a resolver is a component that's in the motor that provides insight into the angular position. So that rotor is spinning inside the electric motor, and you want to know where it is within that 360-degree spinning cycle. So that uses this resolver, which requires the controller to also provide an excitation signal, basically providing roughly a 10 kilohertz signal to this transformer resolver component in the motor. The output of that provides two signals, the sine and the cosine of that position, the angular position of that rotor within the motor. And so the controller not only has to control the current to the motor to spin it, but it also, in that closed loop, has to know exactly, precisely where the motor is within the cycle and the speed of it. And it uses that with fine grain control, with pulse width modulation, to keep that motor spinning exactly where it needs to be to provide the right propulsion and the right smoothness for moving that car forward. So it sounds pretty complicated. There's a lot of math that goes on, and that's what the controller does. It's a complete feedback loop from controlling the motor and monitoring where it is and adapting that over time. So it really is about, at the end of the day, providing those benefits I talked about, but with lots of math behind the scenes. And that's where the controller of the inverter plays a really important role to drive the vehicle.
I got it. Yeah. But today, vehicles are being equipped with more and more controllers, right? How does that affect cars? How does it affect how cars are designed, how they operate? What does this mean for communications in the communications network within any individual vehicle?
Yeah, so there's definitely a revolution going on right now in automotive, and that's why it's really exciting. Historically, the vehicle architectures have been more hardware-centric, hardware-defined by adding new boxes or electronic control units. You know, people call them ECUs in automotive. If I want to add a new feature to the vehicle, you know, electronic stability, parking assist, these types of functions, a new box was added to the vehicle. And it really became complicated with all the wires. It wasn't easily updatable. Each box had a different type of processor that had different security and safety capabilities. And it really became a nightmare and something that isn't scalable moving forward. So what's happening are the vehicle architectures are becoming more consolidated with less processors, less boxes, but with higher performance processors that allow you to do more capabilities in a single device. Now, what that means is instead of having 50 to 150 different boxes around the vehicle, we're converging that down typically in what they call zonal architecture. So now you have more of a central computer, and then you have processing at the edges of the vehicle, like the left front, the right front, the left back, and the front, the rear, the right rear. So what we're doing now is putting the processing in these zones within the vehicle controlled by a central processor, and that drives the network changes. We're moving now more towards Ethernet, high-speed Ethernet, gigabit Ethernet and beyond in the future, and that allows us to have a consistent processing architecture across the vehicle, which simplifies the design of vehicles overall, because now OEMs can scale their software easily. They can add new functions easily, all through over-the-air updates. And that's what leads us to this terminology, software-defined vehicle. And that really is exciting for the automotive industry, and especially the consumers, because now, much like their smartphone, you can have new capabilities that are added to your vehicle over time. That includes what we're talking about here, the traction inverter control. I could actually get better performance, better efficiency, which allows me to provide longer range of that vehicle over time. And in fact, one of our customers has recently done this on one of their EV trucks. They have improved their software algorithms that run on our processor, and they've been able to add 20 more miles to the range of their EV. So it's exciting, the amount of things that are going on. I talk in terms of automotive is going through brain surgery and heart surgery at the same time. It's really that impactful and massive. But all of these at the end of the day are going to provide vehicles that get smarter over time, get more, have more features, have higher performance, and at the end of the day, provide a better driving experience.
Great. So let's talk about time-sensitive networking. It's been around for a while, but I think it's relatively new to the automotive industry. Can you tell us a little bit more about this? You know, what's the big deal?
Yeah, sure. So yes, time-sensitive networking within industrial enterprise type markets has been used, and we are seeing this shift in standardization within automotive. And it's just one of the technologies that's been coming into automotive from other markets. We see influence from avionics, from enterprise networking coming into automotive. But this is a key functionality. TSN, or time-sensitive networking, is a suite of standards that allow the connections between these zones and the central compute within the vehicle to have deterministic behavior, to be able to have quality of service, and really at the end of the day, provide the backbone that make this a reality, because you need to, we're talking about safety systems, time critical systems, and the ability to control across the vehicle in a deterministic and safe manner. So that comes, the TSN really provides that value of providing the determinism, the quality of service, and the ability to really implement these architectures in a way that can scale, in a way that is safe, and providing redundancy. So if there is a break in connection, for example, there's redundancy with the TSN Ethernet to be able to still provide that functionality, even if there's a break in the connection, which is a huge advantage over today's architectures that use CAN, for example, doesn't have the ability to do redundancy, doesn't have the ability to scale like Ethernet provides, and TSN is critical on top to provide all those value propositions.
Yeah, I understand. So when an automaker adds a high-performance controller for traction inverters, does that create any other opportunities for the manufacturer? I mean, what else can they do here?
Yeah, so it really ties into that software-defined vehicle concept where now you have a processor like what we've introduced, the S32K39 microcontroller, really optimized for motor control applications or controlling those traction inverters. The ability to have software updatable through over-the-air updates allows those that control to be updated over time to extend the range of the vehicles, to improve the performance and handling of the vehicles, et cetera. So really, that's going to be the key going forward with these software-defined vehicles. It's not just a box that comes off of the manufacturing line and that's the performance you get for the lifetime of the vehicle. You actually get over-the-air updates over time. And that allows the car makers to provide additional capabilities and better performance and better efficiency within the vehicles just through software updates. So that's the exciting opportunity we have ahead of us with these new architectures. And the new semiconductors we're designing, like the recent S32Z and E, also for the zonal control, and now the S32K39 for the motor and traction inverter control, really support that concept of software-defined vehicles and the ability to improve these vehicles over time.
Great. One final question, Brian, and you know you can sum it up here, but what are the challenges of EV propulsion and how does NXP new series of microcontrollers help support today and you know what's next?
Yeah, so this whole EV revolution, it's going to move very quickly. There's going to be new innovations that are coming in. We already see that in some of the transistors that are being used today with silicon, with IGBTs, moving in some cases already into silicon carbide and also onto gallium nitride. So there's new technologies like this that need to be supported. This has the implications to the silicon to be able to support higher performance, higher switching bandwidth, because that's what these new technologies offer, higher switching bandwidth. They also require higher resolution pulse width modulation, which is what's controlling those transistors. That does require technology that can scale and provide the high performance. So that's the challenge, to have a processor that can do that. As I said, as a new technology comes in, as new algorithms and new software is developed, you need to have the ability to update those over time with secure over-the-air updates, and you need to have that TSN networking to support this ability to securely distribute the processing across the vehicle to multiple semiconductors. So all of those are the challenges. Of course, EVs are going to get more efficient over time, better battery chemistries, better control algorithms, and that's why it's critical to have semiconductors with software and networking infrastructure to make them reality going forward. And that's where the NXP S32 platform comes in with the S32K39 we just announced for the motor control, the S32KZ and E for domain and zonal control, and S32G for central processing and applications and services and secure connectivity to the cloud, which brings it all together. So we really offer a complete end-to-end from the cloud all the way down to the zonal controllers within this vehicle. So having that ability is really important going forward to implement these new architectures of the future.
Great, Brian. You know, we all hear that the content of silicon in cars is increasing dramatically. And, you know, I just wanted to explore, you know, why that is. And you've provided us a great discussion. So thank you very much. And I hope we can talk again at another time.
Yeah, great to talk to you and great questions. And it really shows, yes, that this automotive industry is exploding. I'm very excited about it because of the opportunities, not only in the new types of semiconductors and the technologies that are coming in from other markets, but the opportunities for OEMs to create really exciting products and consumers to really get the benefit of of these software upgradable vehicles, and their vehicles will improve over time. So it's definitely an exciting area, and semiconductors are the heart of these new innovations. So thanks for your time.
Great, Brian. Thank you.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.